Space elevators. One severe objection to many of these rocket designs is that they are so mammoth and heavy that they could never be built on the Earth. That is why some scientists have proposed building them in outer space, where weightlessness would make it possible for astronauts to lift impossibly heavy objects with ease. But critics today point out the prohibitive costs of assembly in outer space. The International Space Station, for example, will require upwards of 100 launches of shuttle missions for complete assembly, and costs have escalated to $100 billion. It is the most expensive scientific project in history. Building an interstellar space sail or ramjet scoop in outer space would cost many times that amount. But as science fiction writer Robert Heinlein was fond of saying, if you can make it to 160 kilometers above the Earth, you're halfway to anywhere in the solar system. That is because the first 160 kilometers of any launch, when the rocket is struggling to escape the Earth's gravity, cost by far the most. After that, a rocket ship can almost coast to Pluto and beyond. One way to reduce costs drastically in the future would be to develop a space elevator. The idea of climbing a rope to heaven is an old one, for example, as in the fairy tale Jack and the Beanstalk. But it might become a reality if the rope could be sent far into space. Then the centrifugal force of the Earth's rotation would be enough to nullify the force of gravity, so the rope would never fall. The rope would magically rise vertically into the air and disappear into the clouds. Think of a ball spinning on a string. The ball seems to defy gravity because the centrifugal force pushes it away from the center of rotation. In the same way, a very long rope would be suspended in air because of the spinning of the Earth. Nothing would be needed to hold up the rope except the spin of the Earth. A person could theoretically climb the rope and ascend into space. We sometimes give the undergraduates taking physics courses at City University of New York the problem of calculating the tension on such a rope. It is easy to show that the tension on the rope would be enough to snap even a steel cable, which is why building a space elevator has long been considered to be impossible. The first scientist to seriously study the space elevator was Russian visionary scientist Konstantin Tsiolkovsky. In 1895, inspired by the Eiffel Tower, he envisioned a tower that would ascend into space, connecting the Earth to a celestial castle in space. It would be built bottom-up, starting on Earth, and engineers would slowly extend the space elevator to the heavens. In 1957, Russian scientist Yuri Artsutanov proposed a new solution, that the space elevator be built in reverse order, top-down, starting from outer space. He envisioned a satellite in a geostationary orbit 36,000 miles in space, where it would appear to be stationary, and from which one would drop a cable down to Earth. Then the cable would be anchored to the ground. But the tether for a space elevator would have to be able to withstand roughly 60 to 100 gigapascals, GPA, of tension. Steel breaks at about 2 GPA, making the idea beyond reach. The idea of a space elevator reached a much wider audience with the publication of Arthur C. Clarke's 1979 novel, The Fountains of Paradise, and Robert Heinlein's 1982 novel, Friday. But without any further progress, the idea languished. The equation changed significantly when carbon nanotubes were developed by chemists. Interest was suddenly sparked by the work of Sumio Ijima of Nippon Electric in 1991, although evidence for carbon nanotubes actually dates back to the 1950s, a fact that was ignored at the time. Remarkably, nanotubes are much stronger than steel cables, but also much lighter. In fact, they exceed the strength necessary to maintain a space elevator. Scientists believe a carbon nanotube fiber could withstand 120 GPA of pressure, which is comfortably above the breaking point. This discovery has rekindled attempts to create a space elevator. In 1999, a NASA study gave serious consideration to the space elevator, envisioning a ribbon about 1 meter wide and about 47,000 kilometers long, capable of transporting about 15 tons of payload into Earth's orbit. such a space elevator, could change the economics of space travel overnight. The cost could be reduced by a factor of 10,000, an astonishing revolutionary change. Currently, it costs $10,000 or more to send a pound of material into orbit around the Earth, roughly the cost, ounce for ounce, of gold. Each space shuttle mission, for example, costs up to $700 million. A space elevator could reduce the cost to as little as $1 per pound. Such a radical reduction in the cost of the space program could revolutionize the way we view space travel. With a simple push of an elevator button, one could, in principle, take an elevator ride into outer space for the price of a plane ticket. But formidable practical hurdles have to be solved before we build a space elevator on which we can levitate our way into heaven. At present, pure carbon nanotube fibers created in the lab are no more than 15 millimeters long. To create a space elevator, one would have to create cables of carbon nanotubes that are thousands of miles long. Although, from a scientific point of view, this is just a technical problem, it is a stubborn and difficult problem that must be solved if we are to create a space elevator. Yet, within a few decades, many scientists believe that we should be able to master the technology of creating long cables of carbon nanotubes. Second, microscopic impurities in the carbon nanotubes could make a long cable problematic. Nicola Pugno, of the Polytechnic of Turin, Italy, estimates that if a carbon nanotube is even one atom misaligned, its strength could be reduced by 30%. Overall, atomic scale defects could reduce the strength of the nanotube cable by as much as 70%, taking it below the minimum gigapascals of strength necessary to support a space elevator. To spur entrepreneurial interest in the space elevator, NASA is funding two separate prizes. The prizes are modeled on the $10 million Ansari X Prize, which successfully spurred enterprising inventors to create commercial rockets capable of taking passengers to the very edge of space. The X Prize was won by Spaceship One in 2004. The prizes NASA is offering are called the Beam Power Challenge and the Tether Challenge. In the Beam Power Challenge, teams have to send a mechanical device weighing at least 25 kilograms up a tether, suspended from a crane, at the speed of 1 meter per second for a distance of 50 meters. This may sound easy, but the catch is that the device cannot use fuel, batteries, or an electrical cord. Instead, the robot device must be powered by solar arrays, solar reflectors, lasers, or microwaves, energy sources that are more suitable for use in outer space. In the Tether Challenge, teams must produce 2-meter-long tethers that cannot weigh more than 2 grams and must carry 50% more weight than the best tether of the previous year. The challenge is intended to stimulate research in developing lightweight materials strong enough to be strung 100,000 kilometers in space. There are prizes worth $150,000, $40,000, and $10,000. To highlight the difficulty of mastering this challenge, in 2005, the first year of the competition, no one won a prize. Although a successful space elevator could revolutionize the space program, such machines have their own sets of hazards. For example, the trajectory of near-Earth satellites constantly shifts as they orbit the Earth. This is because the Earth rotates beneath them. This means that these satellites would eventually collide with the space elevator at 18,000 miles per hour, sufficient to rupture the tether. To prevent such a catastrophe, in the future, either satellites will have to be designed to include small rockets so that they can maneuver around the space elevator, or the tether of the elevator might have to be equipped with small rockets to evade passing satellites. Also, collisions with micrometeorites are a problem. Since the space elevator is far above the atmosphere of the Earth, and our atmosphere usually protects us from meteors. Since micrometeor collisions are unpredictable, the space elevator must be built with added shielding, and perhaps even fail-safe redundancy systems. Problems could also emerge from the effects of turbulent weather patterns on the Earth, such as hurricanes, tidal waves, and storms.